Life's better with American Family Insurance because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Welcome back to our Heartstopper coverage here on Post Show Recaps. My name is Grace, and I'm here with my co-host, Matt Scott. Matt, how you doing?
Woo! Happy to be here, and heart-stopping other things. I don't know, Grace.
I'm so sorry for everybody who hates our wrestling reference, but I feel like I'm going to go on the whole Ric Flair.
I was very ready.
Heart-stopping, hand-holding, I don't know. Kiss stealing. It's a consensual, very consensual.
Thankfully,
actually, big props to the show that I think like there's just like this old school idea of like no, you can't ask to like give a kiss, but like it's so cute. I mean, like he's asking to like figure it out, but also like yeah, very consensual and good modeling on the show for like yeah, maybe ask before you kiss somebody. You know,
well, speaking of like just kind of the show, I just want to start us out because before getting into the episode, one of the last episodes we recorded, I remember asking, like, Grace, do you think that the titles of episodes are spoilers? And
I said, no, but
they're not, they're not though. And that's the thing, because well, like, they kind of are, they're teases.
One definitely, I think, is they are teases. That's right.
I think that one of the things, and we'll go through it in this episode, that I love about the title is that we knew there'd be a kiss. We knew there'd be something to do with the kiss, some sort of kiss. But was it going to be between Nick and Charlie, or Nick and Tara, or Tara and Darcy, or Charlie and Ben, or Nick and Imogen, whose name I barely caught in this last few episodes?
Yeah, like, I didn't know it from the first few episodes at all. Yeah,
you don't know. So it's I think that that's the thing that I appreciate, that they know Heartstopper knows they're giving you this title, and then you kind of have to sort of wait, what's gonna happen, who's gonna kiss, is it gonna be Ben and Charlie randomly in this creepy hall, who knows, anything could happen. And that's what Heartstopper's all about.
Ben, stop.
He needs to leave.
I really love this episode. That it was great, and I think I said this. I have a new podcast out with Amanda and Melissa. The show that we're covering could not be the more opposite from Heartstopper. We're covering The Shining Girls, which is a very dark, like time traveling serial killer show. And then I'm covering Heartstopper, the lovely LGBTQ romp. But I was saying, Josh Wigler, I believe, said this at Once Upon a Time in a podcast, that like you have to let the show tell you what it is. But I feel like this show told us what it is right from the jump. It is this cute little adorable show. I feel like my prediction that like there are Nick Ben shenanigans coming was totally wrong. I don't think that is coming at all. That's not what the show is going to do. The conflict will be like mostly internal conflict, I feel like, and some like friend jealousy conflict, you know, as we're gonna see coming up. But
your bestie Tao not holding up so well here, in my opinion, but we'll get into it.
He's struggling with change. He hates change. I hate change.
I mean, okay, so the Tao of this podcast, Grace Leader, we'll get into all of it, but I love how not only realistic a lot of it feels, but even in the moments of frustration with these characters, like it makes sense. You're like, you know what, as a teen, as someone in that situation, I would have probably done the same thing, right? And so I don't know, there's a lot to get from this show, but we will dive all the way in.
So two episodes ago, we dropped our episode one podcast, and the way that we are recording this means that we could not address some controversy from episode one and episode two podcast.
Yeah, how does it feel,
back
Grace?
To back. You know what? I love it.
Where's your notes app apology?
Yeah, I'll submit that on my Twitter. So, you know, this episode called Kiss, I had the world's most wrong take that the X in X's and O's is a hug and the O is a kiss. I just was totally wrong. Everybody was like self-doubting themselves because I said it with such confidence. So confidence is key, we've learned. But no, Matt, I was totally wrong. The X is absolutely a kiss and the O is a hug.
To be fair, the part that was probably most wrong about what you said, like the thing that was most questionable was the
hug? That the hug is a person standing with their arms extended?
No, because I believe that. It's the little, the O, the mouth, the O being the kiss.
What? Well, the X is, how is the X look like a kiss? How
did, I'm your so mouth glad this being isn't like a video podcast, Grace, but like, my mouth in the O, just if you're listening to this podcast, picture my mouth or a mouth in an O shape.
No, it's
that's like not a kiss.
You like purse out your lips. That looks more like an O than an X.
You're right. So maybe, I don't know. I think you might be onto something and maybe everyone else is wrong.
Apparently, I did do some homework. I've learned from the best, Amanda and Melissa, who do like countless, they like read research papers before they podcast. They're incredible. Turns out that like X used to like sort of be a stand-in for like blessings and then it kind of transformed into like kisses. So, you know, I think it's more like not what it looks like, more that it's just a substitute and then X's and O's became a thing, hugs and kisses. So, yeah. Anyway, I just like to state my public apology that I was wrong. Sorry for making people self-doubt their own reality. I was wrong and I'm not afraid to admit it.
You really embarrassed me on this podcast, Grace, of all people, because I'll just be the voice of the people here. You really made us look. There are people who were around their water coolers at work. That's totally still a thing.
I'm probably accidentally had people
repeating what you said.
I had people accidentally sending X's, thinking they were sending hugs. In actuality, they were sending little kiss texts. So I do apologize for that. If you got into texting hot water, you know,
what a comedy of errors.
I know. Well, let's this is the comedy of errors, but it is a rom comedy, a romantic comedy. Let's jump into episode 3, Kiss. We jump right where we left off. Nick is at his computer, and as we did at the end of the last episode, Googled am I gay? And Nick found an article, 5 signs you might be gay. He's reading some articles, mostly about, you know, homophobic attacks and oppositions to marriage equality.
Conversion,
and he takes a little quiz.
Therapy was conversion in there therapy too. Yep. Like, it's scary internet stuff where it's like there's the maybe the helpful quizzes or not so helpful quizzes. Uh-huh. And you're just touching on that, but also you can find anything on the internet is the biggest thing that this little scene illustrated for me. Not the best way to figure out your sexuality, but hey.
Yeah, I mean, Nick has not come out yet, but obviously he's like struggling with the idea that like he might be gay and he's trying to figure it out, and then that he might come out. And like, boy, like we joke about, like I said, like Zed's favorite phrase is like, yeah, you're so brave for coming out. But like, you know, there is a lot of hatred in the world. It is scary to think that like, yeah, again, like we said last, like nobody chooses this path because like, why would you choose the path that, you know, yeah, you might get attacked. You might, you know, legally people are trying to like limit your rights as a human being. Like, I don't know that we would choose this.
I was thinking about that because you mentioned that. You said that the other episode. And, you know, something that we do see from Nick here as he gets the 62% homosexual, very specific. And also, I thought, quite a way to define someone's sexuality. You are 62% this thing. We don't know about the rest of it exactly. Maybe,
Matt,
you assume it's straight.
I'll answer this question as well, but could you quantify your
homosexuality? No, I'm not. I wouldn't even try. I like the percentages. No, that's like it's a scale somewhere where like the number, you know, maybe something's at like a 40, a 60, some 50-50. Other times maybe we're like 75-25 or what.
Yeah.
And then there's like, and then there, and that's only in the, you know, in the binary of like straight and not straight.
Well, that's what I actually think that the quiz is a great example of the way in which like it's not a bias. It's not a
bias. We'll take the quiz one day. Let us know if you're listening and you want us to take the quiz. Let us know.
There might be an individual out there who would identify themselves as straight. They might get like, you know, you might be 14% gay. You know, oh, you like to watch Ryan Reynolds on the movies? You feel a little heart palpitation? Yeah, 14%. So
it's not Ryan Reynolds. It's never Ryan Reynolds for the 14%.
No,
I mean, it could be.
Hold on. This is a there was a Twitter thing that went around a little while ago that like Ryan Reynolds is the guy that straight people most will say is the most handsome person.
Yeah, but that I feel like what they're kind of like into, you know, maybe like a, you know, maybe a, like a Nick Offerman gets their 14% fluttering, you know, it's always something that kind of surprises you is what I find, you know, you never, everybody is into different things. We can't yuck anyone's yum, Grace.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I'll still take Ryan Reynolds. That's great.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I guess I would too.
Anyway.
Anyway.
So yeah, he took the quiz, 62%. He closes his laptop.
And he actually, there's a little tear that runs down his eye too. And I just wanted to say too, it's like immediately in that moment, one of the things that I thought about is just the losses that you kind of grieve when you're like, well, one, when you realize you're not straight, because that's the normal thing. And, you know, you're always raised, at least, you know, the way that I feel like I was raised and a lot of society is, you know, oh, you're going to get married to this person. You're going to have kids with this person of a certain gender. You're going to live a certain life. And, you know, I could kind of like see and feel the loss of like a sense of simplicity, a sense of safety, a sense of normalcy. Like he talks about being confused so much later. And like you start to see those threads. I don't know if they're unraveling, but you start to see those threads for him where it's like coming into view of like, oh, this is kind of complicated. And the big deal.
Yeah, grieving the sense of normalcy is a really, I think, a good way to you know, kind of put the experience of trying to figure out your sexuality before you come out. So Nick is at school. We get introduced to Harry. Does Harry jump up the board? Is he in sort of the bad guy list? Is he? I guess he can't be worse than Ben because Ben assaulted Charlie. So I guess he's probably number two, though. He immediately is in that. He's podium. He's on the
podium. I think he's kind of worse than he might be a little worse. I might say he's worse than Ben, but with the caveat that we don't know everything that Harry has. Just the vibe, you know, the vibe.
Yeah. So he invites Nick to his 16th birthday. He's like, make sure you bring some really cool people with you
at a freaking hotel. St. George's Hotel. I caught that on the second watch, which is like, oh, that sounds fancy. It sounds like he's rich, but also, you're 16. We're the adults.
Yeah.
Are they technically? No, they could drink, right? Are they allowed to drink at 16 over there? Or is that 18?
Let's see. Drinking age in England is 18. So, yeah, same as in actually Quebec in Canada is drinking age of 18. Never also.
By the way, Grace, I love when you search for things because I could hear the typing and it's a good sound effect for the podcast.
Okay. All right. Good.
It is actually. It's like, oh, we know that we're looking for information.
Yeah. I love Googling. Imogen slots over next to Nick and is like, oh, you can invite me. And Nick's kind of like, you know, just like, wow, you have to be cool enough. But he does inevitably invite her. And Imogen has the little hearts animation over her head. She is a bit smitten with Nick.
And who could blame her?
Yeah. No, he's cute. A friend of mine asked, is it too basic of a take to just say like Nick is super cute? And I was like, no, he's great. He's super cute.
Sure. I mean, he's a great guy. Yeah, I think like exactly. And cute is like such a broad word for this because it's all cute. Most of it's cute until it's not.
So they're in the locker room, the rugby locker room. All the guys are like, wow, Nick's gonna have his like pick of the girls at the party. Like Tara's gonna be there, Imogen's gonna be there. And we learn that this like the rumor about Tara and Nick is because they kissed 3 years ago.
When they were a lot younger. Like when you're between difference between 13 and 16 is kind of interesting.
Nick sort of like downplaying everything. He's like, hey, if you're not into Imogen, like Saturday night is your chance with Tara. And Charlie's sitting next to Nick, like kind of giving him a look like, oh man.
I feel so sad for Tara Jones. Like, yeah, leave her name out of your mouth, people. No one asked you to speculate about Tara's life at all. In like, it's so bizarre too because this reminds me of my, like, again, going to an all boys school and just like different girls, because really they were girls at the time. Different girls would come up and it would be like certain people's sisters and girlfriends or whatever, or whoever. And it's like, most of us don't even know this person. What, like, why are you talking about potentially going out with, or whatever it was at the time, right? Or hooking up or whatever that was. And yeah, masculinity is a broken, I was gonna say a broken system, but it's a broken dumpster fire if we're gonna be real.
Yeah. So then we see Charlie sitting next to Nick at class, and this is where Nick is like, I want you to come to the party, Charlie, like, please. And Charlie's like, it doesn't really sound like my sort of thing. And Nick is like, please come, I really want you there. And so Charlie says, okay. Yeah. Sweet. You're hanging out at the party. Yeah. So Charlie texts his group chat, Tao, L, and Isaac, and is like, hey, I got invited to the party. And they're like, whoa, like a popular party. Whoa. And Tao, Matt's favorite, Tao, is like, hey, tomorrow night we're going to watch a film at my house. That's a tradition. What are you doing? You
can't go to the party.
It's sacred.
Immediate hater mode from Tao, in my opinion. Really, Tao?
This is complicated. It is complicated. Because, like, it is kind of a bad look for Charlie to cancel the film club plans, you know? Kind of.
Yeah. But you know what? Like,
but also he has a crush, you know?
Yeah, it's strange because I still haven't wrapped my head around where exactly Tao's coming from. And I've been trying to from the very first moment that we met him, because it felt like he was, it didn't feel like he was coming from a place of being like the most supportive. It felt a little bit misguided. And I'm not sure if it's jealousy or it, like, what it is exactly, Grace, but...
So, can I say, Tao says, and I believe in the last episode, he says, this is coming from your straight friend, like, Nick is straight. And, I mean, yeah, they're, like, I'm very much, like, a bit stereotyping, like, this Tao character, that he comes off, the way he's, like, giving advice, comes off that he's giving advice as Charlie's also gay friend. I have to, like, the way he's so sure that, like, Nick is straight... feels very like Tao, you know, is like, no, like if Tao was gay, and he's like, no, that's not what like a gay guy hiding his sexuality is like. Like, he's just a straight guy. Like, yeah. I don't know. And I feel like there's a world where Tao was written. Actually, I feel like I thought this little crew was all like LGBT, like little like gay friends, and L being like out and then is like, oh no, actually, like I'm going to transition. I'm trans. And that made a lot of sense to me.
Yeah.
I feel like they decided at some point, like, no, Tao's going to be straight because we have this idea. We have the storyline that we would like to play with Tao. Like, do you know where I'm going with this?
Yeah.
Maybe a little crush between, you know, Tao and L, I think.
Yeah.
Is coming.
But it's all so weird because this is the problem with just having to define everyone's labels and who's straight and who's not straight.
Yeah.
Because at the end, I mean, I think that we're both right in saying, oh yeah, this has been established as Charlie's straight friend group, but you know, Nick has also been established as straight. Other, you know, so it's just like, what is even true? What is sexuality? What are these labels? And it all makes it so confusing to understand what's going on with the characters, because we can't really, and maybe this is life, but we can't really take someone's label in this show or otherwise at face value, which is like kind of profound, maybe.
I think that would be true of another show, but not this show. I think everybody's labels are as they have told us, I believe, unless they haven't told us.
They have told us.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I think that's really, really true in this show, because a lot of it, maybe like kind of extending on the point I was making, is like a lot of it's like, oh, this is my straight friend group, or Nick, you're my best hot straight friend, right? And it's not Nick saying I identify as 100% or whatever, you know.
But like, we're getting insight into Nick in a way that, like, you know, as a viewer, that like the rest of the audience isn't, or like, so not the audience, like the other characters in the show are not. Like, I feel like we are supposed to sort of like, I feel like, yeah, this is a show where like what they tell us is what's happening, right? Like Nick exploring his sexuality, this isn't going to be a show about like, well, no, he's actually not gay, you know?
Yeah. Like, and also it would be kind of annoying. Oh, I mean, I guess maybe this is life, but it would be kind of tough or maybe a little annoying to watch a show where like someone, a character you trust, tells you a thing or says a thing, and then it's implied to be true, but it's not true. And then you're like, wait, what is going on? What could I be? It's kind of hard to follow sometimes. So maybe one of the things to your point is like, they're explicitly not putting those words in Nick's mouth. And maybe in the reality of his life, like he's having conversations with the, like a rugby friend, like I'm straight, da da da. But like, we don't know that. We don't see that. And I think that that's important in the show. It's cool that everyone kind of owns their, you know, like they own their, they're responsible for their own truth. And we're getting like other people telling them what their truths are, as opposed to like them stating, here's who I am. And I don't know, I guess that's high school. It's very,
I think my point with Tao is that I think that at some point the show decided he's just going to be straight, so that if we want this romantic storyline between Tao and L, it is the most simplified version, which I actually don't mind in terms of it is from a like somebody who's watching the show who might be straight, who might be, you know, as Imogen, I don't know what episode I'm an ally, who's an ally. That it's a bit of a cleaner storyline to say Tao is straight, and then when L transitions, now Tao is interested in L versus, oh, they were interested in each other. Tao's sexuality might be rather fluid. He might be pansexual or bisexual. And he's also into L now. It's just so much cleaner. And I think kind of in some ways I do actually appreciate that that's what the show is choosing to do, because it's a little bit it's really like saying trans women are women, trans men are men, in the sense of like Tao is straight and now he's interested in L. Like I think that in real life, you know, when I transitioned, like I had an ex who was like, yeah, I think I could still be like interested in you. And like, that was the thing that we had to like he had identified solely as like a gay man his whole, and then was like, oh, but I like you. And so now what does that mean that I like you, but you've transitioned? Like, I, you know, like whatever. And like, so life is much more complicated than that, but Heartstopper is very much like a simple show in many ways, which is what I very much love about it. I'm loving that it's like it's simple and it's just telling these stories that are like super cute and adorable. It's not trying to like purposely confuse the audience, I think. So anyway, that's just my take on Tao as a character.
No, that's a great, I think that's a great point. And it's interesting because my only reaction to that is like, we'll see what unfolds and how much more we learn about these characters. But yeah, like there's so many directions they could kind of take it. And we'll, I don't know, we'll see. We'll see kind of what they do with the Tao, how they kind of treat Tao's sexuality, especially because he's talking about who's straight and who's not straight a lot.
He's a gossiper, which is also okay. I think I'm going to bring Survivor into this for a second.
And oh,
so,
no.
So there was a deleted scene this week in Survivor where Romeo came out to his tribe, the whole tribe. And Romeo is a pageant queen. I think that he does fit many of the stereotypes of like being a little bit flamboyant. And I saw so many friggin' tweets that were like, replying to Dalton Ross sharing this article that was like, well, didn't everybody know? Like super obvious. Like, why do you have to come out? And it's like, okay, first of all, not everybody who has stereotypes of being an effeminate person, like being an effeminate man, is gay. Tao being a gossipy, you know, little teen, he could be straight. That's totally fine.
Could be like bisexual. He could be again, there's a whole spectrum of things, right?
Yeah, but it does not mean that you are inherently gay or queer. And so I got very annoyed at this thing. And then also the idea that like it is still super scary to come out. It's like still you know, so like the idea that people are like, well, we already know. It's like you're like you know, invalidating the personal experience. You don't know. I think a lot of these people, whether they were, I guess I don't know their sexuality, the people who are like complaining about this moment that happened on this reality show, but like, you don't, I don't know. You don't know. And it's super invalidating to like, you know, say that like, well, we already knew. It's like, well,
but also
it's still,
you didn't though.
You didn't
actually know.
You didn't. And it's still very hard to come out. So I was very frustrated. Anyway.
Yeah.
So my point here is that
there's a lot to get into with
Tao being gossipy.
Yes.
Tao being gossipy is okay. That's fine.
I think
and be straight.
Well, this is the other piece though, too, where I'm just like everybody this episode especially, I don't think we ran into any behavior where I'm like, okay. And actually, in general, this show, again, very good at having justifiable, realistic behavior. And again, remembering that they're teenagers, like, these things really hurt. My friend's leaving me. I feel rejected. If you're in Tao's mood, and this is skipping ahead a little bit to the conversation with Elle, but, you know, clearly Tao is not a big fan of change. And we touched on that a few minutes ago, but Tao's not a big fan of change. It's scary when you have these really close friends who you want to be with forever, and you kind of see that changing. You see things falling apart. Like, maybe your best friend who you have a romantic connection with, like, so many things have vastly changed for Elle, even just in terms of, like, transitioning. And we don't know the backstory of when Elle transitioned, right? But even just switching schools and that dynamic being different. And Elle is embracing change, and we're seeing that, and Elle's a model of that change. But Tao is also... Tao needs to be brought along a little bit. And so I do empathize for his character throughout here.
Tao sympathy.
But I don't like him, but I empathize. I do empathize.
So Tao's upset. Troy says, I'll make it up to you. Elle says, Elle being the voice of reason, the best character on the show, being like, it's okay. Don't worry about it. We'll be fine.
Isaac rolls his eyes, does not respond to the text thread.
Yeah,
does basically. Not.
So Charlie gets dropped off at the party by his dad. Dad's like, 10 p.m. pickup. So, can it be 11? His dad's like, no, 10's late.
I
don't know if it's a school night. I guess it's Saturday, so it's not a school night definitively. So I don't know.
But you know what? No, there's a moment just before Charlie gets out of the car here where his dad looks at him and says, hey, Charlie, call me if you need anything.
Yeah.
Looking like very concerned. And I'm like, I don't know. It's always very, and the way that parents see their kids is always very fascinating to me. And I would love to get like another series that's just the parents' perspectives on this, because.
Ooh, we could have an Olivia Colman show. Ooh.
Oh, yeah. Olivia Colman, number one best-selling actress in the land.
No, she's not a blockbuster. No, she doesn't
seen her in The Simpsons?
She doesn't do blockbusters. She does smart dramas. That,
Coleslaw? I don't know. No. There's so many. I'm looking for a nickname for Olivia Colman. It's not coming this episode.
No. I like this. We have not met Charlie's parents. This is our first interaction with them. Presumably they know he's out because the whole school knows he's out. He was being bullied. So nice supportive dad here being like, call me if you need me. We enter the party. Wow. It's ginormous. There's a ginormous dance floor. It's huge. So many people. Who did not get an invite to this? But I mean, sucks if you think that Tao and Elle Isaac did not get invited to this party.
I mean, Isaac might have actually, to be honest, Isaac might have been at the party.
You think it was fake? It was a.
I do think it was fake. I do think Isaac was at the party, and they just cut that for time.
Interesting.
I will say this reminds me of some moments, not in high school, but in even in college, just here in the big city. Washington, D.C. You have just some of these places that are huge where you walk in and if you're looking for your friends, like, you're going to be looking around for a long, long time. It's just it's a lot. So we did get, again, very realistic portrayal there, because if he just walked in and Nick was right at the door, like, there's that never happens at a 5,000 people person party or whatever this was.
But it's actually Imogen who finds Nick first and is like, hey, but Nick has his eyes looking elsewhere. He's looking for Charlie. They eventually do spot each other. They both stay at the same time. Very adorable. I've been looking for you. So cute.
Oh, it was sweet. It was sweet. And you know what? I love this. I love their little relationship.
Yeah.
Which is not a relationship.
Here's a moment I loved. Again, the show just nailing the show is not about it's internal conflict. There is some, like, you know, obviously Nick and Charlie are being like bullied a little bit, but like, so here's this moment where like Elle comes to Tao's house and Tao's mom is so excited to see Elle.
Yeah.
Hey, like, look, like, tell me, like, you, what do you want? You need anything? And Tao's like, mom, look, she's here to see me. Like, come on. And as they're going upstairs, like, she loves you more than she loves me. Adorable. I love it. We all want like a trans people. Like, it's so nice that like Tao's mom is like super, super like supportive of Elle.
She was very enthusiastic about seeing Elle. And it's great. You know, yeah, and you have to appreciate that in this show, especially where, you know, the parent interaction is limited, which I think is a good thing because we don't need more of it. And so that moment for me was just, it was notable in that we are getting that moment of like, I missed you so much. I think she was even like, I'm going to go put on, like, I don't know if she said something like, oh, you could come, like, she, her, the mom wanted to talk. Mom wanted the one-on-one.
She wants the gossip. So, I think it's so cute. I mean, there's a way where in some ways it's like, you know, if Alice transitioned, this is like, I think the implication, in the very first episode when they're talking about this, the teacher that was being transphobic, is that Elle had transitioned before leaving Truam, but it, you know, whatever the process was to get to Higgs. So it was out at Truam as well. So I don't know, like, you know, in terms of like Tao's mom, but there's very much just like a way in which she's like almost like treating, I don't know, she's like sort of treating her like, you know, a woman. I don't know. It's like, it's really cute. It's really affirming. It's great. Yeah.
Yeah, but but the other piece of that crossed my mind, and yes, it was even just that small interaction was very affirming. It seemed in just to Elle's identity, but the other piece of it too was that you know, Tao's mom mentioned it's been a long time, so I figured that maybe that she just hadn't seen her in so long, and maybe,
which is even cuter.
Yes, I know, it was better. Very cute. Bring mom back. Bring Tao's mom back.
Yeah. So Tao ushers Elle upstairs. They're gonna watch a movie, and again, Tao, being very relatable to me, is like, okay, let's watch, you want to watch all these sad movies, like we watch Lady Bird, or
Lady Bird
isn't sad, but like you know, whatever, like Moon Knight, what about Arrival? And Elle's like, I don't want to watch sad stuff, can we watch something funny? And Tao's like, I just want it to be like old times. And they get a text from Isaac, who is sick and can't make it. Just the two of them watching a movie.
The two of us.
Yeah. Harry comes to see Nick and Charlie. They're sitting on the couch, and Harry's like kind of making fun of them for like sitting in the quiet part of the you know, of this place.
No chill.
And Harry's like, "Hey, Tara Jones is here. This is your big second chance." And he ushers them over together. So awkward. Yeah.
Leave Tara Jones alone.
Yeah.
That's like, increasingly, even as we talk about it, I'm like, Grace, I think we should talk less about Tara Jones because she didn't ask for this.
Yeah. We might talk more about Tara Jones after we take a quick commercial break and hear a word from our sponsors. Okay, we are back. We're actually not with Tara or Charlie or Nick. We jump back to Tao and Elle. Tao is saying, Charlie's changed. Nick stole him, and they're like, hey, come on. They're like, you know, they're hanging out, they're friends. And Tao's like, you're picking Nick's side. It's like, there's no sides, they're just figuring it out.
And you know, and that's a little bit of a Charlie being stolen by Nick was the thing that jumps out for me, because I'm just like, come on, Charlie knows, I don't know if Charlie knows what he's doing, but Charlie can't be stolen. Charlie has an edge. True. Charlie knows what he's doing.
But don't sometimes you just want to say something to your friend and you want your friend to be like, yeah, you're right. You
know? Yes, sometimes you know? I do like to be overdramatic and overstate things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You just want your friend to be like, yeah, you're right. He did steal us. Okay, let's watch the movie.
Again, it's all like very relatable. I think Tao's frustrating in that his character is just a very real character.
And he's too he's jealous.
We've been there.
You know, yeah, doesn't like change.
I mean, probably me too at the end of the day, especially at that age. Come on.
Yeah. So Tara and Nick are chatting, and they both sort of admit, like, yeah, I don't feel that way about you. And Tara's like, all this could have been avoided if I just told everyone I was lesbian. And Nick's like, why would you lie about that? That'd be a bad lie. And she's like, not a lie. That's my girlfriend over there. That's Darcy. That's my girlfriend. And he's like, why are you telling me this? And she's like, I don't know. I just feel like I don't need to keep it quiet anymore. Like, I don't need to, like, make an announcement. But I also, I just don't want to hide as much. Which, again, I love that. Super relatable, I think, of like, yeah, I want to, like, live in this in-between space between, like, I'm not hiding and I'm also not, like, telling the whole world. Like, hey, yeah. I'm just living, you know, in the same way that straight
people exactly
get to, they don't have to make an announcement. They just get to, like, live. I mean, sometimes they do make an announcement. Yeah. But, you know.
Yeah. Usually it's like a, it's a, what's it called? It's like a gender reveal. You know, yeah. They really love those. But no, it's right. But, you know, and I think the other thing about this scene is that maybe for me in the episode, this was the first time where I wondered, is this going to be the kiss? Is something going to lead to Tara and Nick kissing? Even if they're obviously not into
you thought
each
it was
going like to
be
that.
The fake out. They're like,
for me, ooh, it was a little bit of
we'll
a
be
fake
each
out.
Other's beards.
Yeah, yeah. I thought it could lead to that situation, especially with Harry and his gaggle of goons just standing around, which is weird. You know, you don't need a bunch of people standing behind you. If you are ever someone with 5 to 6 to 10 people standing behind you, backing you up as you talk, you are the villain. And that was Harry. But it was nice that he didn't. It was interesting, actually, because I think he walked away. They went and did their own thing. And then Tara and Nick were able to have this genuine conversation moment, which it seems like kind of started to open up Nick's eyes. Because, again, you know, Nick only knows one openly gay person, Charlie. And
he's like, oh, that's kind of my best friend at the moment.
Ooh. And yeah, but and that's the thing. Like the representation of that matters, though. Just like seeing other ways that people could be gay does matter. And I think at least that was clicking for me as I'm watching Nick's wheels spin. Like, why are you telling me? Oh, wait, you're okay with putting this out there? Oh, wait, this doesn't have to be a secret. Okay. So I appreciated this scene a lot, actually.
I mean, Tara. It's a micro, you know, it's a TV show where like he's seeing one person, but it really is the like, epitome of like representation matters, like seeing
exactly
you know, seeing people who are out and comfortable being out and you know and having pride in some way is super important.
And you know, one thing I'll say too, and I'm sure that I'll bring this up later because it jumped out to me more, especially going into episode in the next episode of the podcast, episode 4. But you know, I for anyone who's coming out, and you know, for anyone who's revealing anything in their lives that they've never revealed to other people, I say that even thinking of like just people disclosing experiences they've had in different ways, how those initial people react, I found is so pivotal to like how their journey goes. So if the first person you tell reacts really well, and it, you know, like that is one thing versus if you tell someone who reacts really negatively, and then that might shape how you navigate. And I feel that for Nick as he's going through, you know, starting the episode searching, am I gay, to now really starting to like think about it and process it and see how his potential gayness interacts with the world.
I had the person I came out to as gay and the person I came out to as trans had the best responses. Just like, that's awesome. I'm happy for you. What do you need? Was like the, like, you know, the like three-step process to like affirming someone when they came out. It was really, really great. And it like helped, you know, I do think that that's true, that like it probably, you know, if either of those interactions go poorly, it takes me a lot longer to then tell the second person I tell, the third person I tell, you know?
Yeah. And I remember like, and like for me, one of the first people that I came out to was like, even just like a roommate who was also just, who had just come out also. And so someone who got it and who was there, right? But also someone who's
also came out
very,
to somebody who was out. That was my first. Yeah.
Someone, but it's interesting because, and I guess this is a similar situation for Nick and Charlie potentially, because, you know, they're both just figuring things out. Not only because they're just figuring out their sexuality, but also because they are teenagers in high school who are just literally figuring out, like, what is this world?
Yeah.
What are we doing here?
Yep. So Nick wants to find Charlie. Harry's like, why would you hang out with like this nerdy year 10? Oh, do you feel sorry for him because he's gay? This is bumping Harry way up the list in terms of bad guys.
A-hole.
And then Harry's like, oh, do you think Charlie has a crush on you? And Nick is like, wow, that's super homophobic, and I really don't like you. Happy birthday. And he walks.
Woo! We love that.
Good on you, Nick. Yeah.
Good on you. Yeah. Tell him.
Yeah. Back to Tao and L. Tao apologizes. He's made the night weird. He just misses how things used to be. L saying, you know, sometimes change is a good thing. And she says some of her friends were at the party. It's like, yeah, it might even be fun. Some of my friends were going. And Tao's like, you have friends? She's like, yeah. And he's like, no, that's great. That's a good thing. Like, I'm happy. Elle explains how she realized she needed to put herself out there or she'd just be alone. She'll be okay at the school. And she says, that's a good change, right? And Tao says, yes. And they hold hands.
Yeah, I actually missed the hand holding on the first watch. So
that's very quick.
Mm-hmm. It is very quick.
It's like kind of like actually like hidden a bit by the by the blankets. Yeah, it's weird.
But also, it felt very natural at the same time. Mm-hmm. Like, not, it didn't, there wasn't even hesitation with it. It was just quick.
Yeah. Charlie runs into Ben.
In a dark, empty, creepy hall. Like, of all places in this packed party to run into somebody that you don't want to literally run into, by the way.
Yeah, true. Nick is looking for Charlie. Ben apologizes to Charlie. And he's like, yeah, and have you finished sulking yet? Stop. And Ben tries to kiss Charlie again, and Charlie pushes Ben away. So
yeah. Do not touch me.
Do not touch me.
Yeah. Do not. Boundaries. Yeah. We love it.
Elle and Tao, they tell each other they miss each other. Tao says, I kept accidentally buying your apple juice. I think it's so cute. It's so good. And this is where,
speaking of Survivor, Tao has a moment where he's trying to get like a final two type of alliance with Elle.
Yeah, for real.
Let's lock this in to the end.
Yeah. It's like, we always put our friendship first. And I think because we're going to get some Tao and Elle, you know, stuff.
Yeah.
She does like, okay, yeah, I promise. But it's because they're going to be like cute together. So it's fine. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like Elle to me seems like someone who gets like, we're going to go to, maybe we'll go to university at some point, you know, maybe we'll move away from each other at some, but I do appreciate Elle just kind of going with it and being into it. And you could tell, you know, she wants to maintain the relation or the friendship there. Ooh, excuse me. But it is interesting. The sad thing about all of this one thing I think about with all of this is the fact that they are in, high school, or you know, and they are navigating, and so there's so much life to live, so much could happen, and you could but it's amazing to see like Tao's like, this is for life, which is a very real thing for, you know, when you're in high school and when you're younger, like it feels like this is life, this friendship is everything.
Some relationships, you know, persist through high school, so you know,
for through life,
through all life, day. Yeah. Imogen finds Nick and wants to dance, and he's like, I have to go, I'm looking for someone. And she's like, do you like me? I really like you. And she's like, you don't have to answer that right now.
Yeah, but to me, okay, but I will also I will also add, she gives I didn't really know what it was that I didn't love about her, but the thing is, there are some subtle things that she says, like she's like, I don't care, stay with me. Like, no, she's very, there's some of what we've gotten through with Ben and Charlie, I feel like we're getting with Imogen and Nick, where it's just kind of pushing and pushing and pushing. And it's like, when you're a teenager, you're figuring out these social dynamics and just how to interact with people and like what's too far and what's okay and what's aggressive and what's flirty and what's not aggressive enough. And that's kind of why I empathize with her, but it's a little cringy when you're like, damn, just, I wish you knew to like not pressure him so much. But you know, we are getting so much more of Nick's story than Imogen and anyone else. So,
well, Ben and Imogen both have this, I think, like, they both like the idea of being in a relationship with Nick or Charlie respectively, rather than actually wanting to be in a relationship with Nick. I mean, there is some stuff that like shows that like, I mean, Nick is a, you know, he's a funny guy. He's made the group like laugh, you know, whatever.
Athletic. Yeah, all athletic, the things. Like,
yeah, I guess. Yeah, but
Golden it seems like
they do know each other. Well, which Jess Sterling says is a compliment.
I agree. Thank you.
But Jess Sterling does own a golden retriever. She has a Winston. So I don't know. You know, I don't know.
Yeah. What kind of message are you sending Jess Sterling?
Yeah.
Owning a golden retriever.
No, it's just that I think she's a little biased in terms of it being a compliment, you know?
I agree with her,
yeah,
though.
Yeah. So Nick does head off and then he sees Tara and Darcy dancing together. And then they kiss, and there's rainbows all around them, and they're on the dance floor, and they're very happy, and he's just watching these two people, you know, be with each other. It's very cute.
You know, I will point out that if this was just a fascinating scene for me. One, it was a beautiful scene to see Nick kind of watching, and you know, again, the wheels are turning, and he's kind of realizing what do queer relationships, what does that all potentially look like? So we're seeing that develop here.
Yeah.
But the other thing is, I have definitely seen straight guys just standing around watching that type of situation too. So very different, very different purpose for watching them make out. But I also think for me this reminded me of the show Queer as Folk, and they have like lots of these kind of dancey scenes, very much Canadian sets. I think they're in Toronto, and you know, this gave me shades of that, a little bit of like the classic gay club vibe, maybe just everyone jumping up and down and all the lights and confetti, but I really liked this scene
and the big rainbow animations in the background.
Oh, 1000%. Which you're like, are those rainbow animations, or is that the lighting in this room? Yeah, which obviously I think it was. I mean, maybe
no way Harry is like, no rainbow lighting, please, it's too gay. Yeah,
Harry is definitely gay. We'll get there in episode 8 probably. What a twist that would be.
Would be a twist. I have to say, the one thing about Harry is he looks so much younger than everybody else. He looks like he's 12. He's tall, but he looks like he's young.
I get that. I mean, I've heard that description for me too. Okay,
fair.
It happens.
All right. So Nick does end up finding Charlie. He's sitting on a couch. And Charlie's like, sorry I left. I felt like I was in the way. So much apologizing. And he's like, your year 11 friends are very intimidating. He's not sure if he wants, Nick says he's not sure that he wants to hang out with them anymore. He'd rather hang out with Charlie. And Charlie says, yeah, I ran into Ben, but don't worry, I dealt with it. I think he got the message this time. And Nick like sort of holds Charlie's hand. He's like, good for you. Good. He's like, kind of noisy in here. You want to go somewhere quieter?
Yeah. This is the moment, by the way, where I said, I was convinced that Ben, like, we won't get a Nick and Ben thing that happens, because like that would be such a heel turn, Grace, for Nick and Ben to have anything to do with each other.
Yes,
especially
agreed.
With who Nick is and what he's heard about Ben. I don't know if that's the last that we've heard of Ben and Charlie and their interactions. I hope it is, but yeah, this is like the moment that really hit it home for me even more, that
yes,
like Ben is trash and it's established and Nick knows it.
Yeah. So they head up through the house. They decide to race. They end up in, I do love Charlie being like, you're slow because you're old. It's a year older than him. Oh, it's great. They end up in a big ballroom, and they're talking about like, how does Harry afford this place? They're tired from racing, so they sit down next to each other. And this scene is adorable. It's like heart-wrenching. Like, I had butterflies in my stomach. I'm not even like in the room. So Charlie's like, do you like Tara? And he's like, no, definitely not. So, mm-hmm. do you have a crush on anyone at the moment? It's like, well, it's like, no, I didn't say that. He's like, you don't have a crush on anyone. He's like, no, I didn't say that. And so Charlie says, well, what's she like? And Nick says, you're going to assume they're a she, huh? And he's like, are they not a girl? He's like, would you go out with somebody who's not a girl? He's like, I don't know, maybe. And Charlie moves his foot closer, moves his hand closer. He's like, would you kiss someone who wasn't a girl? He's like, I don't know. And their pinkies touch and there's sparks. And then Charlie's like, would you kiss me? And Nick says, yeah. And they kiss. And this is so cute. When they kiss the first time, there's a singular flower petal that like comes in and like goes around them and then floats out. And then they hold hands and they kiss again. And there's more flower petals. It's so cute. The scene is great. It's so well
done. It is
done.
So, it is. And it's interesting watching it the first time because you're just wondering how far the conversation will go. And one of the frustrations I had in one of our last episodes was just like, Charlie, you telling Nick like, oh, you're my best. Thank you for being my best straight friend or whatever he said in the moment in the Instagram message. I'm like, that's not the best way to fish and find out if he's actually straight, if that's what Charlie was doing. And in this, I was just like, Charlie, like, hopefully you don't misunderstand what Nick is saying here. And the conversation progressed, obviously, to a point where they were on the same page. And I love that for them because I think all too often, like conversations like this might stop at the, I mean, they could stop at the first question, or they might just stop with assumptions. Like, so you don't have a crush on anyone at the moment. And then, you know, Nick says, I didn't say that. And then Charlie's like, oh, well, Nick has a crush on some girl and I don't know her. And then that's where the conversation ends. So I'm glad it kept going, especially for them. They're good at communicating with each other, Grace.
Yeah, they are. Because I did wonder, I did wonder if this was going to be like, okay, by episode 7 or 8, we get Charlie and Nick together. Like, is that what the show is doing? A little bit of like, you know, the will they, won't they of these two teen boys, like the whole season. But, you know, we get them kissing in episode 3. And I was like, that's great. What a delight. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that the other piece of that will they, won't they that I kind of realized with this moment, which is so realistic, is if we get to episode 8 and then that's where they kiss and they make out and they come together, that's just not how life works. Like, that's not the peak in the, like, that's not the finale of life, because we know, you know, you could kiss and start dating someone and there's so much more there. And I like that we're only in episode 3 and we're starting to see them come together, because that means we're going to get see so much more development of this relationship, which I think is just realistic, more realistic than the kiss come together, immediate happy ending.
Yeah. And you know, I think what is like, we talked about the show having multiple queer people on the show. And we talked a little bit about Ben, and I talked about like how I felt like Ben is actually a fairly complex character, that he's this kid like trying to figure out his sexuality. I actually love that, like, okay, we have that version of Ben, but now we're going to have this version of Nick, who is like trying to figure out his sexuality, who is a much more, I think, like rootable character than Ben. And so I'm excited for them to dive into totally. That, because we met Charlie, who is out, not by his own choice. And now we're going to, I think, get some storyline of like, okay, how does Nick handle being a teenager who's out, but from the process of like being in the closet to hopefully being out by the end of the season, I would imagine.
And then the other piece that we're starting to get, which again, we'll talk about more and more and more, I'm sure, is how does, you know, again, because Nick only knows this one person who's out in terms of Charlie. So how does Charlie's outness influence, or how does Charlie's journey influence Nick's journey?
Yeah.
And it's all fascinating, because like, I think we've all been there where it's like, yeah, none of us really, outside of sexuality, many of us have had experiences where we're just listening to our friends because they're the resource who could guide us through and tell us how to do a thing. And sometimes that's the right thing to do. And other times it's completely misguided, especially at that age. And so I love that. It's so complex. And it's
real. And I gotta say, I was not super in on the like heart petal, like flower petals, the heart animation. But boy, like last episode when we get like Nick holding his hand over Charlie's when he's sleeping, and then here when they touch pinkies and there are like electricity sparks, I'm like,
yeah,
boy, this works so well. It's perfect. It's like exactly like encapsulating what it feels like. It's so good.
Yeah. And it also, I think the cool thing is that it really does the work of letting us know like what the dynamic actually is, because if we didn't get those sparks or even just some of the editing choices that we get, and you know, backstory of what Nick is thinking, this could also be a situation where it's like, oh, a quote unquote, like, well, a gay guy kisses a quote unquote straight guy, and like, what's that? We don't know what to think. We don't know what to make of that. This is really feel good because we know in the moment that, you know, this is what they both want. And they, you know, they'll come to that realization eventually.
Yeah.
But it's nice.
So I was surprised that this was not the end of the episode. We actually get Harry calling out for Nick. And he's like, why are you hiding? Like, come on. And so Nick rushes out of the room and goes to see Harry and his goons of goofs.
Yes.
And Harry's like, come on, it's just banter. No need to start anything. And Nick says, yeah, I guess I was just in a mood. And Harry's like, we're good, right? And Nick's like, yeah. And Nick runs back in to find Charlie. Charlie is gone. He's in the car with his dad. And his dad realizes something's wrong. So he gives him a hug and Charlie cries on his dad's shoulder. Charlie is in bed. He has no notifications on his phone. When he wakes up in the morning, it's a rainy day. And Charlie is imagining in the same way that we've seen him imagine, like, you know, him saying, like, I'm straight. Like, you know, I'm not interested in you. If this is what's going to be like, we better not be friends. He's imagining like him saying no when he wanted to kiss him. But
after the fact, too, retroactively, which was the first day. I'll call it a daydream if we want to call it that. But, you know, that was the first time
day
after
nightmare.
The fact. Like maybe a little bit more of a nightmare.
Yeah.
But yeah, interesting that he's going back, and it's totally relatable. Well, again, we'll get even more of this as we start episode 4 when we talk about that. But Charlie apologizes for so much, and it's so clear that he is an overthinker in a lot of ways. Totally relatable. I'm there.
I'm also an overthinker. So
yes but it's sad. Oh, Charlie. Yeah.
So, but it's cute. At the end of the episode, Charlie's brushing his teeth, and they hear a knock at the door, and his mom's like, "Can you get that? I'm busy." So he goes to answer the door. It's pouring rain. It's Nick. He's soaking wet, and they just go, "Hi, hi." That's the end of the episode.
It's their thing.
Saying hi.
Those would be so cute wedding vows.
Hi.
I now pronounce you together.
Husband and husband. Is that good? That's not very good.
Hi. Yeah, I don't know. We're talking about hi so much. Now I'm thinking about Survivor 42 and I'm getting confused. Yeah.
So yeah, a lovely episode. I am a little surprised. I think there's a world they seemingly very much like, I don't know if they do this between episode 1 and episode 2, but between 2 and 3, and then we're going to see between 3 and 4, they like to stop the episode somewhere and then pick it right back up. And I'm not sure how much we'll get that as we keep going. I do feel like you could have ended this episode with the kiss and then everything about the banter and all of that's, you know, the Harry confrontation and all that, I think could have started the next episode, but it doesn't really matter. The Nick at the door soaking wet is very cute as well. Very rom-com-y.
Yeah, very rom-com-y. There's a lot to break down with that. At least he didn't show up with a guitar outside.
That's true.
He was in the rain though, so.
And he seemingly, ran over in the rain. So it's very cute. And that's where we leave episode 3.
That's it.
All right. We'll be back in a few days' time. Matt, do you want to plug anything while we're here?
Me? No, I'm just happy to be here, Grace. No, I don't want to really plug anything. Just want to give a maybe a little bit of a shout out, because this week, I think this is our last episode before the Rob Has a Podcast RHAP live show in New York. I think for the most part, I think there's still some tickets available, but there's a wait list too. So it's a pretty hot ticket. But if you're going to be there, let me know. You mentioned Grace, Dr. Amanda Rabinowitz. Uh-huh. I know she will be there. She'll be in the house. And, you know, some of your PSR favorites might be around.
Brooklyn Zed is going to be there.
It's like the Comic-Con of Rob Has a Podcast and PSR. So if you're there, if you're going to be there, let me know. If you're even in New York and you're not going to be there, let me know. I might run into you on the street, in the subway. Who knows? But that's the thing I would plug, because exciting times coming up.
Yeah. I believe if you are a Rob as a podcast patron, I believe if Sam Moore had a message today, if you are still looking for a ticket, you can message him. No guarantees. Definitely is a waitlist situation, but message him and you might get lucky if you, specifically if you're in the New York area, it might be worth doing an inquiry. Yes. We'll be back in a few days' time to talk about episode 4, Secret. A little tease for the episode.
Secret.
All right, we'll be back in a few days' time. Until then, bye-bye.
Bye.